going to dedicate tonight to the elevation of the soul of Chaya Bat Binyamin, a Kohen, and David Ben Shmuel Binyamin, Bracha Hensha Bat Yehuda, Naftali Tzvi Ben Chaim Abraham, Yehuda Moshe Ben Naftali Tzvi, Jacqueline Chaya Esther Bat Shmuel. Should all have an elevation to their soul, should have a lot of nachat from us down here, and from their offsprings, and their relatives, and as we wish them, Yekitzu Ve'eranenu Shochnei Afnar, that the ones that are not amongst us shall get rise up very soon with the coming of Mashiach in Tchiyat HaMetim. We're going to make a general dedication to whoever needs health and nachat from their kids and shalom bayit and parnasa and clarity and everything that Am Yisrael needs. Bezrat Hashem, we're not going to start taking names because we're going to make a lecture about names. But anyone who needs any type of Yeshua and salvation and help in any department should have it right away. Hashem should bless us all that we should be marching out of this exile very soon with happiness in our life and success in our life and everything that we wish for ourselves. And a very special thanks to Susie. Needless to say that we're going to dedicate tonight for the success and the health and the happiness and the nachat for Susie. And where's Shlomo? Shlomo here? Okay, I see a hand. And the kids and should have a house full of happiness and nachats. Parnassa should be in an abundance. Thank you for organizing such an amazing event. Baruch Hashem, it says, Zchut HaRabim Mesayatam, the merit of the public, of the congregation, of people who come, the merit of them assists the person to grow higher spiritually, physically, emotionally. Bezrat Hashem, we should all take a live example how it is to care about another person. That's what really melts Hashem's heart. You can have a 2-foot-long beard, you can have a very black suit, you can be in the shul for 2 hours, 5 hours a day. Hashem says, I have enough of these. But when you go out of your way to make a difference to somebody else's life, that's where Hashem says, oh, that I like. I like when you go out of your way to affect somebody else, physically, especially spiritually. So the advantage and the zchut of somebody not only going out of their way, opening their home, buying refreshments, hundreds of texts back and forth and inviting and worrying and setting up, and one little mitzvah comes out of this room tonight, the zchut of that mitzvah is huge. And the really what we need in our life is the power of how much I can give out and not how much I can take. And that's the problem of most people, is that what they're focused on is what is in it for me. How can I take something from here? What is my benefit here? Instead of thinking, where can I give somebody else? So that will be one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight, is that we unfortunately, and very, very unfortunately, that everybody is in some type of a bind. Everybody is suffering in some type of a way. One person doesn't have parnasa, another person has problem with health, another person doesn't have shalom bayit, another person doesn't even have a bayit, doesn't even have a house. The unfortunate truth is that if chas v'shalom, I'm going to ask each and every one of you, if your life is perfect, we're not going to have hands coming up here. If we're going to now make a questionnaire who has problems in their life, everybody, without any exception, will raise their hand. And even though we only have here 40, 50, 60 people, I can't see till the end, but the reality is that anyone that you're going to approach with the exact same question will tell you, yes, I have a problem in my life. Doesn't matter what it is. And the reality is that the majority of us have 5 or 10 problems in our life, not one. But the big question is why? Why is my life full of problems? That's what Hashem wants from me. Hashem wants me to suffer. Hashem wants me to all day long worry and be upset and in pain. And that's not what Hashem wants. So why is it that the entire nation, entire Am Yisrael is suffering? In a very extreme way. The reality is, I can't say what was 50 years ago, I wasn't here. But it seems that our generation has it pretty hard. I mean, if you go 70 years ago, when I look at my problems, I just go backwards. 75 years ago, the Holocaust, and I'm like, wow, my life is sweet. I have a fridge. And I have many other things. Every time that I have a problem in my life, I don't look at my problem. I look at other people's problems. A few weeks ago, my young daughter, Baruch Hashem, we have 6 kids. One of them, the young daughter, she's 3 years old, she was very sick. And we didn't know what's going on. The whole night, she's crying, she's waking up, she's falling asleep. And of course, she keeps my wife and me up all night. 3 o'clock in the morning, we're like half falling asleep and we don't understand what's going on with her. Finally, she throws up. And she throws up all over the floor. So it was 3 in the morning, my wife is like, okay, that's yours. I'm going up. I'm not dealing with this. So I start washing her face. Her whole body is full of throw up. Sorry for the descriptions. And I wash her up, change her clothes, put her in bed, and then I have to come down to the living room. So the whole living room is throw up all over the floor. And I go on my hands and knees, lift up my shirt, I start cleaning it, and in my mind, of course, my Yetzirah, look at you. 3 o'clock in the morning, you're on the floor. You should be sleeping now. You have classes to prepare for tomorrow. Look at this. And very quickly I was, why are you even trying to make me feel bad? Look at me. I'm so lucky. You know I'm lucky? I have a squeegee. And I have a dustpan. And I can easily do it. And I have paper towels and a spray. And I was thinking and I remembered that I once heard the testimony of a Holocaust survivor that in Israel, I mean, here in America, they don't make much of a big deal out of it. But in Israel, I grew up in Israel, they make a big deal out of the Holocaust. And they educate the kids. And we had constantly Holocaust survivors coming to our schools. And I remember a Holocaust survivor once said, you know, that they used to torture us in such a way that everybody would throw up, everybody was sick. And they gave us to eat the throw up. And people would like, you know, we're not going to get into descriptions here, but they wouldn't have a bathroom there. So everything was on the floor. And she said, they made us clean it with our hands. And sometimes even eat it. So now I'm cleaning with a squeegee and I'm like, I have problems. I have a squeegee. And it takes me exactly 5-10 minutes and the floor is clean. So it's all how you look at things. It's all a matter of perspective. So even though I think we have it very good, I mean, when I come home at night, I have a fridge that I can open. I mean, go back 60 years, what a fridge. 100 years, 200 years. So, but I'm not minimizing from our problems because we do have a lot of problems and unfortunately everybody has a problem. And the reality, the sad reality is that each and every one of us has many problems. And we don't know how to deal with it. And we don't understand why. Why the Kadosh Baruch Hu, why is he doing this to me? I'm such a good person. I mean, I really try. I'm not super Jew, but I try. The reality is that we're very, very close to the day that Mashiach is going to come. We're very, very close. I know it looks like a dream. And you tell people about you just tell them the word Mashiach, they're already studying. No, that sounds very fanatic. And people don't like hearing it. But the reality is that it is very close. And Hashem wants us to all get our act together. Because when Mashiach is going to come, that's it. They stop. They stop the clock. Whatever you took, that's yours. It's not going to be a big deal to serve Hashem when you see Mashiach in front of you. It's not going to be such a big deal to be frum when I see Beit HaMikdash and I see Revelations. It's going to be very easy. Everybody's going to run to Beit HaMikdash. The test is now when I'm in exile, when I don't see it. When I don't see a godly revelation, I don't see anything. So Hashem wants everybody to be on board. There's a prophecy by Shmuel, the Navi, that he says, "Ve'lo yidach mimenu nidach." That Hashem is not going to leave people behind. Hashem says, I want everybody. I want everybody on board. So in order to do that, Hashem makes sure that everybody's pressed to a corner. Because if everything is good, then you don't remember Hashem. That's the sad reality. When everything is good, when I have a lot of money in my bank account, and parnasa is good, shalom bayit is good, my kids are good, everything is good, then I don't find myself in a shul, I find myself in the crunchy crap, or in a vacation. When things are bad, that's when I start talking to the ceiling, like as if Hashem is on the ceiling. But that's the unfortunate truth. So, you know, when I come home, you know, with me it's different. When a man comes home, what is the first thing he does? Hi! I'm home! And you know what usually the reaction is? Other ones in the back didn't see it. That's a reaction, unfortunately. So he's like, I'm home! So the next reaction is, that's the unfortunate reality. So what does he do? Because he doesn't get any reaction. So he says, I have a lollipop. Everybody comes to the lollipop. And then once the lollipop is taken, then they go back. That is the reality. I mean, Baruch Hashem, now I'm out of my home for the last 9 days, I think. Bezat Hashem, this Friday I'm coming home. You know, I just come off the cab, then six little kids, like a magnet on my leg, jumping up and down. Because they know I have toys in the suitcases. You saw the toys? Oh, you didn't? Ah, we moved the toys to the closet. They know, they come and hug my leg because they know, where's the toys? Where's the toys? Where are they? I mean, they're looking at me, but one eye goes over there. Did you get me the Lego? Did you get my iPod? Where's the iPod? In the blue one or the red one? But that's the reality. I mean, I don't get offended. But the truth is that when I come with the suitcases, they're such nice kids. Abba, let me carry the suitcase. I'm like, wow, 2 weeks out of the home and it becomes so good. But as they're carrying the suitcase, like, is it here? Is it here? Where is it? Where is it? So I come home like a hero. I mean, my wife shops on Amazon. She ships everything to Sushi. I pack everything in my bag and I come home. I'm like super dad. I didn't even go to the store. I didn't even know what the presents are. When I sky with them, did you get me? Yeah, I got you everything. The blue one or the red one? It's a surprise. No, tell me, the blue one? No, it's a surprise, I'm not ruining the surprise. I don't even know what the presents are. But the point is that I come home, I'm super dad, because the suitcase is full of toys. So, we're kids. We're constantly looking for these little toys. And Hashem just wants our attention. If I give Hashem attention, He's going to leave me alone. If you try once, see a kid that gives the parents too much attention, doesn't matter right now if it's a positive attention or negative attention. At some point the parents are like, die, go to sleep already. But that's the reality. 10 o'clock at night is like, go to sleep. I'll get you whatever you want. Go to sleep. So Hashem is the same thing. You give him enough attention, he'll be like, here, go on a vacation. Just stop bothering me all day long. Chas v'shalom, I'm exaggerating, I'm just making it funny so we can laugh a little bit in this serious life. Because we do have to laugh a lot. If you don't laugh, then life becomes very serious and very sad and very heavy. You have to laugh. You know, in the month of Adar, every month has a certain sign, a certain letter, a certain color, a certain motion, a certain energy. And every month has a certain emotion, a certain sense. And the month of Adar has the sense of laughter. Tzchok. Now, there's two types of laughter. There's the laughter that you laugh because you hear a good joke. This is not coming from a good place. This is where the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Akiva saying, "Tzchok v'kalot rosh ma'avirim et ha'adam min ha'olam, o margilim et ha'adam le'erva." Laughter, it's talking about when you laugh about somebody else's expense. That's not the real laugh. Now it's very popular. You go on Facebook or on YouTube, the most popular videos are the one where people fall. And if somebody falls in a funny way, 5 million views. So why? Because he had an accident and he falls? People make competitions. Whoever falls the most exciting. So that's not a real laughter. That's not the laughter that we're talking about. There is a very special laughter that comes from the depth of our soul. Now if you notice, there's a certain chapter of Tehillim that we read when we bench, when we say Birkat HaMazon, and we say Shir HaMalot, Beshuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, when Hashem is going to bring us back to Israel, Ha'inu Kecholmim, we were as dreamers, meaning that this exile is like a dream. And then we say something very interesting. It says, Azim Ales Chokpino. Then our mouth is going to be filled with laughter. And then we continue, Lushonenu Rina, our tongue is going to just praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu all day long. But the concept of this laughter is that we're going to reach to such a good level of happy, because everything is perfect, then all day long I'm going to be laughing. And this is not that I'm going to be, excuse my language, cracking up on the floor. This is an inner happiness and laughter. The best thing of the day is the 1 minute video that somebody sends you and you laugh. The highlight of the day. But this is only going to happen very soon when Mashiach is going to come, is when we're going to reach to this unbelievable level of happiness and laughter. But we have to laugh. I mean, our life is serious enough. I mean, you have to laugh as much as you can. You have to laugh at life, and you have to laugh at yourself. The problem is that most people are so serious they can't even laugh on themselves. So in a very special month, when the month of Adar, the month that we draw happiness and laughter to our life, but the bottom line is that we all want to know, why is my life so difficult? Why? So there's no answer to the why. There's a few questions that are literally a waste of time. Why and what if? Why is a waste of time and what if is a waste of time? Don't even try to get these answers, because there's no answer. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is holding the why, and the what if doesn't even exist. What if? It's one of the most stupidest questions I ever heard. What if I would do this and that, but you didn't do it? And people kill themselves over the fact that they didn't do something 10 years ago. And that's the reality, is that you have no control. If something already came to the world, that's the Hashgacha Pratit. That was the divine providence. That was the will of Hashem. And to cry over something that I didn't do 10 years ago, that's not going to change the situation. It's much more important to look forward and to find a solution. I mean, you need to look back to make an analogy. But people are stuck on the past. And our Hashem gave us a very good hint that He said, listen, I'm putting the eyes in the front of the head because I want you to look forward. I want you to look back. If Hashem wanted me to look back, then He would put the eyes in the back of the head. If Hashem tells me, I don't want you to look backwards, I want you to look forward. Meaning that not to look what happened 20 years ago, I messed up something 10 years ago, and what if, the what if is worthless. It's not going to do anything. It's not about what if, it's what can I do to change it. Now, there are many different types of problems in our life. Some of them are the problems that doesn't matter what we're going to do, they're never going to go. They're there to stay. And that's the challenge of my life. Because that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. And I'm never going to get an answer. I have no point of trying to get an answer. It doesn't matter what I'm going to do. That is the problem of my life. And you see it, unfortunately, sometimes in families, a child has a certain physical or mental disability. It's not changing. That's the problem. I have a good friend, and unfortunately, they have 5 kids. The last one has Down syndrome. 5 years, they're killing themselves. It's our fault. We talked Lashon Hara. I looked here. I did that. Okay, why are you killing yourself? That is what Hashem wanted you to have. For 5 years, they cannot forgive themselves for something that they didn't even know. Forget about the fact that they can't accept that is the fact. I told them, you know, till Mashiach comes, that's the child. There's no hocus pocus. There's nothing to change here. That is the reality. Face it. I know it's not what you want, but that is the reality. And this is one reality out of many. People lose their kids in the middle of their life. People lose their spouse. People lose their money, their business. People have a very weird misconception that I did something and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is punishing me. I don't know where it even comes from. I don't know where people get the chutzpah to say an analogy of a situation. Oh, you did this, so Hashem is punishing you. Hashem is not punishing anybody. Hashem is not a third grade teacher that is punishing people. First of all, the way the world works is the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a system that I will do something, a certain action. Sorry about that. I'm going to do a certain action, and there's going to be a reaction. So if I do a good action, there's going to be a good reaction. I'm going to do a negative action, there's going to be a negative reaction. That's it. It has nothing to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a manual. He gave me a Torah, and he says, everything is said in this manual. Follow it, you'll be good. Just know that if you do a good action, then there's going to be a good reaction. If I'm now going to go and smile to somebody in the street, how are you? Good morning. Most likely, I'm going to get a smile back. Most likely. If I'm going to do something positive, most likely that's what I'm going to get back. And if I chas v'shalom curse somebody on the street, most likely I'm going to get a reaction back. But that's not only with me and another person. I mean, I can take now a rock and throw it at this window and smash the window into pieces. So I made a foolish action and now I get a negative reaction. I have to clean the mess. I have to pay for the damages. So Hashem doesn't punish anybody. He says, if you do this action, there's going to be a reaction. End of story. Now, it doesn't always work like that. That's why some of our problems, that's the will of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they're never changing, and don't even think they're going to change, start dealing with it. And I'm not saying it in a mean way, chas v'shalom. That is the situation. And the point of this problem is not to suffer, and we'll get to that soon. Why is the point for this problem? Some of the problems in my life are my actions. I mean, they're my reactions to my own actions. If I cheat in business quietly where nobody knows, there will be a reaction. It's not a punishment. Hashem is not standing there with a stick and waiting to hit me on my head. But there's going to be a reaction. And if I talk Lashon Hara, then it's going to come somehow back. And some people, they choose to ignore it. And they say, no. But the reality is that's how it works. And I can do many, many good things. But I can do two or three bad things. And bad, the definition of bad is not what I think is bad. The definition is bad is what the Torah think is bad. Because I'm bribed. I'm very easily bribed. And in my mind, what's bad is what's nothing to do with me. And everything else is good because it's fine with me. The definition of good or bad is what the Torah says. So in a lot of cases, I will do something and it will come back at some way or another at me. And I can tell you already that what Hashem is sensitive about is anything between Adam and Chaviro. Ben Adam l'makom, between the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll be patient with you. I mean, Hashem is patient till a certain point. You can't push it too much. The Torah is not a recommendation book. The Torah is a guide to our life. So if it says in the Torah to not to do something, it's a very good recommendation. It's a guide. But I can't now sifting what's good for me, what's not good for me. That's the problem with most people, is that they decide the definition of good and bad. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, we read about a very interesting mitzvah in the Torah. And the mitzvah is that we should not take bribery. Now, it's kind of a weird mitzvah, because who takes bribery? A judge. Judges take bribery. Now, what is it got to do with me? I'm not a judge. But if it says in the Torah, do not take bribery, it means that it has to do with me. And why am I taking and where am I taking bribery? Because I have in my mind, in my head, sits my intellect. And I understand things very good. I know it's not good to steal. And I know it's not good to lie. And I know it's not good to gossip. And I know it's not good to do many other things. But I have a heart. And in my heart are all my attributes and my character traits. And my heart doesn't like what is the truth. So my heart, my midot, my attributes, they will bribe my mind. So in my mind, I know it's not healthy to have the 12th donut today. But that's my mind. I understand that because I'm going to gain weight, I'm going to get acne, I'm going to get sick. But my heart tells me, ooh, that donut looks so good. Just smell that fresh dough. You want it, right? Yes. If you eat 30 donuts, it's not good. 12 donuts is not that bad. So my heart will bribe my mind that it's fine. It's okay. It's totally fine. You can eat it. And this is one example out of many. I'm not going to start giving examples. You use your own imagination where your heart, your attributes, bribe your mind, your sechel. And we are totally bribed. Therefore, the Torah comes and tells us, don't take bribe. Don't accept this bribery. So I define in my life what is good. And the sad truth is that I make the truth what I like. So if I like to eat those 12 donuts, that's the truth, and the truth is fine because it's not 40 donuts. 12 is good. Instead of me liking the truth, then I make the what I like the truth. That's the mistake of most people. Because the truth is I'm not allowed to lie. Yeah, but it's not convenient for me right now not to lie, because that's not how I make business. I'm not going to sell this house if I don't lie. So I make what I like the truth. In business, you're allowed not to tell all the truth. So my mind is going to manipulate the situation. I'm not lying. I'm just not saying all the truth. Right? So I constantly take bribes, and I make my reality, that's the truth. The reality should be that this is the truth. Now start liking the truth. Now, I don't like waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go and pray. But the truth is that I need to go and pray at 6 o'clock in the morning. But my truth is that no, I don't like to. It's cold, it's not convenient, I didn't sleep enough. Praying at 9 is also good. So now I make the truth what I like. Instead of saying, no, this is the truth, I got to start liking it. And this is Bemet, one example out of many. You use your own imagination how it comes into your life. The reason why I'm saying that is because I define in my life what is good and what is not good. And it's not parallel to the Torah. Because the Torah tells me different things. So first and most important is that I have to look in the Torah and follow the Torah. Now, the thing that most people tell me, and every time I laugh from the beginning, when I tell people that, they tell me I'm not religious. I tell them, you don't need to be religious. No, but I'm not religious. I said, I'm not religious too. Do I look religious? No. I just have a long beard. It's pretty much, it's trend now. But how do they call hipsters? I'm a hipster. I'm the number one. I'm the coolest guy. I just came down from Phoenix. I walk in the airport, everybody's like, wow, check out this beard, dude. And I'm like, yeah. So I'm cool. Not too long ago, I walked in New York, and there was like a street show, and I'm with my suit and my hat and my beard, and I'm standing and I'm looking at the show. I don't even know why I stopped there. And this guy comes to me and tells me, do you know how cool you look? So I told him, oh, I know how cool I look. And I told him, I'm happy you know how cool I look. You want to put filling on? You'll be cooler even. You can be cool like me. So, I'm not religious. I might look religious. I'm a Jew. I'm a good Jew. At least I try. And I have a book and I read what it says in the book, and the book tells me, don't steal. So I'm like, okay, it's not good to steal, even though I like stealing. I mean, I used to. When I wasn't religious, I was a thief. No, I wouldn't break into people's houses. I would do it nice with a suit. I don't get my hands dirty. That's why I was a millionaire, because I knew how to manipulate situations, lying, cheating, stealing. That was my reality. And then the Torah tells me, you're not allowed to do that. You can't cheat. You can't lie. Hashem doesn't like that. You don't have to be religious for that. You have to be a mensch. So religion is one thing. The Christians are religious, the Muslims are religious. I'm a Jew. I'm a human being. And happens to be that by chance I also follow the Torah. So I'm a Jew, and I'm trying to be a good one. It has nothing to do with religion. And the answer that I get from a lot of people, I'm not religious. So what if you're not religious? You don't have to be religious not to lie, not to cheat, not to steal, not to commit adultery, not to do all of these things. It has nothing to do with religion. So first and most important is I have to understand that Bemet, a lot of the problems in my life, that is the reality, and it cannot be changed and will not be changed and has nothing to do with me. And that's the part I want to get to the most, and we'll talk about it soon. But we want to make some type of an analogy first to understand the problems. How are you? So, see, you got the best place in the house. It's best to be late. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם, שהכל נהיה בדברו. So we'll get to that, because that is the core of everything, is why the problem. But the next type of problem that I have is I create the situation and I have to take responsibility, and I cannot blame it on anybody else. And the reality is that most people, they have a problem, they right away put the finger out. It's her fault. You brought the internet in the house. I didn't do anything. That's how usually the reaction is, that there's a finger right away. So the reality is that in this particular niche of the problems that I did create it, take responsibility, be mature. And instead of whining and saying why or what if, okay, I did a mistake, how do I change it? That's it. Hashem is not looking for victims. Hashem looks for solutions. And the problem is that we have a tendency to look for victims or to blame somebody, because usually I'm the one to blame, but my ego is in the size of this room, so I don't want to blame myself. It has to be my wife, has to be my children, has to be my boss. I'm perfect. You didn't notice? So that's the problem with most people. They're not willing to say, I did a mistake. How do I fix it? And the point is that I have to take some type of responsibility. So a lot of the problems that I experience, it is my initiative, so to say. I did that. And a person has to make an analogy. When, you know, the Gemara says, Abba al Adam Yesurim, a person that hardship and pain comes to him, suffering, Yefashpesh b'masav. Go through your stuff, see what's going on. Maybe you did something wrong. Now, if you went through all your daily agenda and you find out that you're pretty much okay, then you say, okay, I was okay. Must be that that's already connected to the department number one that we're going to talk about it later. That's the test from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We'll title department number one as a test. Kadosh Baruch Hu tests us all day long. The Torah says, "Vayi achar hadvarim ha'ele ve'elokim nisa et Avraham." Hashem says, I'm going to test him. We don't like that, but that's the reality. The next group of problems is my own job. I did that. And I have to kind of go through the daily agenda or whatever it is, and to kind of find maybe I did something wrong. And you have to be very humble when you do that. Because most people, when they do this analogy, they're not doing it, they're not coming from a humble place. So there's not going to be an option for solution, because I didn't do it. She did it. So she has to change, not me. But it's very hard to a people to say, you know what? I was gossiping a lot this week. I mean, probably I'm getting now it slapped in my face. Now the reality is that I don't like being OCD about this. People become very OCD. And everything that happens, they right away, you know, they go into a trance. I mean, some people call me in the middle of the night. Don't ask. Don't ask. A bird was flying sideways and it looked at me as it was turning. What does it mean? It means that a bird was flying sideways.
Which
and
ladybugs in her house.
And so I get the 911 calls in the middle of the night of people who are breathing very heavy. A cat just looked at me. Okay. So, maybe.
I have like squirrels that live in my backyard.
Literally all of us all
yeah,
people.
We do.
Okay, so stop. So stop.
Literally all day long, this is us.
Okay, so put it on your WhatsApp group. Stop.
The flies. And on the earth day.
Really stop. Because that's what drives people crazy.
I read Parashira. They're like, get your Parashira out. What's this?
Hashem is not looking for us to be OCD. He's looking for normal people. I mean, no offense. No offense. I mean, Hashem wants us to be calm. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you have to find a magnifying glass and every little thing, dissect it. And I really get these calls. I'm not joking. I'm not trying to make you laugh. I'm getting calls in the middle of the night of some weird things. You know, the light flicked.
We talk about that.
So it means change your light bulb. That's what it means.
No, but when it happens, when you're reading about the Arizal, literally I'm reading about the Arizal and every single bulb was blowing out in my house. It was not normal.
Listen, I'm not going to be very objective here. I am the one who will tell you things happen when you do certain things. But the point is, when you become very OCD on these things, then you lose your focus. The point is, when you become very OCD on these things, you lose your focus. And not everything that happens in your life is because things shift in the universe. Sometimes the cat just decided to walk there. And it happened to be that you were there. But you do need to kind of pay attention. You have to do an analysis. But as long as it is not OCD, that's what it is. You have to make a quick analysis, and you have to be very, very honest and extremely humble. And usually you can kind of pick up on where it's coming from. And usually the hint is going to be pretty clear. So if I'm getting out of the blue suddenly a ticket in the middle of nowhere, or somebody bumps into my car and runs away, or some, I don't know, the boiler blows up, some type of a financial problem, then I should right away connect it. Maybe I stole. Maybe I did gezel. Maybe I owe somebody money. Maybe I did a neder with money and I didn't do it. You have to make quickly a quick analogy. And the reality is that we fail in this department a lot. You know, now I was during Shabbat in Phoenix. Beautiful, beautiful shul. And it was Faraday shul, so they have a custom that they sell the opening of the ark, the ahagba, the aliyot. They sell everything. They auction everything. And I was sitting on the side and observing. And the Gabbai comes and says, who wants the this aliyah, that aliyah? Everybody raises the hand. The hand goes in the speed of light. Pamaim chai. 100. The hand goes in literally in 300 miles per hour speed. It goes up. But to sign the check, that takes 2 years. So that's the reality. To say three times chai, it doesn't take much. The second that you said, I'm buying the p'tichat ha'echal, pamaim chai, that's it, you said a neder. Till you pay these $36, you have a problem. Because you did not do the neder that you did. You have to come on Tzei Shabbat with a check to the gabbai. I was a gabbai in a shul for many, many years, a very big shul. People would call me Erev Rosh Hashanah. How much do I owe? How much do I owe? And now you remember? Now you remember to pay what you vowed last year? So, I'm giving one example out of many because we do that a lot. You put now money in a tzedakah box. If this tzedakah box says a certain name, you cannot take money out of the tzedakah box. People think it's a cashier place. Oh, I need small money. I'll put the dollar in. I'll take the quarters out. It doesn't work like that. Once you put the money in and it has a name on it, I'm not talking about the clear tzedakah boxes. It has a name, that's it. You made the neder that you put, that quarter goes to that shul. So we fail a lot with nedarim that has to do with mamon, that has to do with finance. And a lot of times you also owe people money and we don't even notice. Because it's friends, mama, it's friends. One time I come home at night, few years ago, and my wife tells me, before I forget, just know that I took from the neighbor $40. And I was like, why? She was like, no, the cleaning lady was here, I didn't have enough cash, so I borrowed $40 from my neighbor. So I told her, go now and pay, here's money, go and pay it back. And she says, it's 10 o'clock at night, I'll pay tomorrow as me. So things are going to happen in my life, constantly. In most of the cases, it's a nisayon. Some of the problems, like I said, they're here to stay and they're not leaving. And that's how it is. We don't ask questions. Because we're never going to get an answer. It's not about asking the question. Whether it's a financial problem, a physical, a spiritual, doesn't matter. Some things are here to stay and they're never going to change. Some of the problems are, Kadosh Baruch Hu is testing me. Now, he doesn't want to test me to see if I can handle the problem. He wants to test my belief, if I have belief in him. And he wants me to test... He's testing me to see if I'm willing to grow greater than where I am. And that's usually most of the problems that we have, that if I do that the right way, they disappear. They really, right away, they disappear. Because previous generations, they had a nisayon with Kiddush Hashem. Other generations had a nisayon with idol worship. Every generation has a certain nisayon. Our nisayon in our generation is emunah, is our belief. The reality is that nobody really believes. If you really, really would believe in Hashem, you would probably be super duper Jew. The reality is that we don't really believe in Hashem. I mean, we were brought up like that. Some things make sense, some things don't make sense. But we're not really believers. Because when something big happens, I don't really believe that it can disappear. Because I don't have much bitachon. I don't have real trust in Hashem. And that's where Hashem is testing me. He says, I'm going to put you in a situation and I'm going to see how you're handling the situation. I'm going to see if you worry, if you're going to fall into depression, if you're going to have anxiety, if you're going to believe in me, if you're going to go and pray, if you're going to go crazy. I want to see how you're reacting. Now, why Hashem does that? That you're going to have to wait for Him. You're going to ask Him. I don't have the answer. I just come and give you an analysis of why we have a lot of problems. Before we even come to the solution of problem number one, we have to understand that, A, like I told you, it's right before Mashiach coming. Hashem is showering us with problems because He wants us to wake up. When I have a problem, I wake up. I wake up and I start saying, oh, you know what, maybe I should get a little bit better in my life. Maybe that will help. Not only that, we really remember Hashem when I'm down. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Mima'amakim kraticha Hashem." When I go to the depth, that's when I call you. When I'm high in my level, I don't call Hashem. So Hashem changed the situation and He, so to say, takes my lollipop away. Like I told you before, my kids, how good they are when they carry my bags. I want attention, I will take the lollipop away. Here's the lollipop, now I'm a best dad. Now I take the lollipop away because I want you to do what I told you. And I'm not mean, I'm just trying to educate you. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu creates situations that are not really real. And with the help of the Satan, then they're getting magnified. The truth is that the problem is very small, and in most cases there's nothing there. It's a lie, it's an illusion. The Zohar says that this world is called Alma de Shikra, the world of lie. Everything here is a lie. You walk on Fifth Avenue, wow. It's a lie. It's nice, but it's a lie. Everything in this material world is not what Hashem wants. It's just for us to be tested if I'm getting overwhelmed by it or not. Now, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see my reaction. It's not about the actual problem. A problem comes, I start worrying. First of all, instead of saying, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the problem, He's going to solve the problem. I start worrying. And that's the problem with most people. They start worrying. And then it becomes an anxiety. And then they don't fall asleep. And then they don't sleep at night. You know, my wife tells me, I've never seen such a thing in my life. You sit on your bed, you put your head on the pillow, a second and a half, it's like, who falls asleep so fast? This is because my mind shuts down when I go to sleep. Most people go into bed, starts all the wheels start turning. And then it takes them 3 hours to fall asleep. All the worries. So I told her, I'm not worried. Do I look worried? Look at me, no wrinkles. I'm not worried. I sleep 2 hours every night. When I fall asleep, I put my head down. Not because I'm tired, because my mind, I know how to switch my mind off. Worry, in Hebrew, you say deaga. Hashem doesn't like people that worry, because you're really showing zero trust in Him. And deaga in Hebrew, if you look at the letters deaga, which was translated to the word worry, and from worry will start manifesting into anxiety and fears. But worry is deaga. Deaga has all the letters starting from aleph. It has an aleph, then it jumps, and it has a gimel, then a dalet, then a hey. It goes in order. But it's missing the letter bet. Bet, that stands for the word in Hebrew, bitachon, when you have trust. When you have emunah and trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you have trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you're never going to have a worry. You're not going to worry ever again. But when I don't have trust in Hashem, then I'm worrying. And what happens is that I take all the power from the hands of God and I take it to myself. I take responsibility. And Hashem says, okay, you want to take responsibility? Take. You know, we were very, very lucky. I don't even know where the schut came from, but we opened a women's center in Tzfat a few months ago. You know, I want to go this way, Hashem takes me this way. That's how this works in the realities. You want to be a lawyer, you become a doctor. So I don't even know how Hashem brought me there. Dashgacha Pratit, we open a woman learning center for older women, for mature women that want to learn Torah, and in most cases they are their men. And he couldn't have kids. And on one of his travels, years they could not have kids. One of his travels, they come to New York. Somebody comes and tells him, listen, why don't you go, there's a tzaddik in Brooklyn, get a bracha. He's like, I don't believe in this nonsense. Needless to say, he wasn't a religious Jew. And he's like, I don't believe in this nonsense. I don't believe in rabbis. I don't believe in that. So he tells him, listen, what are you going to lose? What are you going to lose? You don't have kids for years. Go to the man. It doesn't cost money. It doesn't do anything. Just get the bracha. So he goes. He goes to Brooklyn to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he tells him, I don't have kids. The Lubavitcher Rebbe tells him, okay, gives him a bracha, a blessing. A year later, he has a daughter. Okay, 16 years later, this daughter comes home with a headache. The headache doesn't pass. They take her to the doctor. The doctor says she has a tumor. They start worrying, what are we going to do? They start going to one doctor, to another doctor, to another doctor. He spends most of his money. He's a real, real wealthy businessman. They take him, take the daughter here, there. Anything that they're trying to do, they're becoming more scared and more scared. They finally get advice to go to Boston to some professor. They fly to Boston. The professor looks at her, examines her, and says, we got to operate right now. But if we operate right now, if we don't operate right now, we're looking at days. And if we do operate right now, there's a very good chance that she's not going to wake up. Or she's going to wake up with some type of a problem because we're going to have to, it's very sensitive. They don't know what to do. And they're going crazy. So, he's in America. Suddenly he remembers that rabbi that gave him a blessing. He flies to New York. Goes to the headquarters in Brooklyn. Knocks on the door in the middle of the night. I got to see the rabbi. Somehow, I don't know how, they got him in. It was a 3-minute meeting. He walks in. He cries. He's overwhelmed. He's screaming. The rabbi tells him, listen, now we're in the month of Adar. The power of the month of Adar is Venahafochu. We'll take it, we'll make it upside down, we'll transform it. Don't worry, you can go home. So he's overwhelmed. He will go, walks out of the room, and he's like, wait a minute, I forgot to ask my question. So he goes back, knocks on the door, let me in, I didn't ask a question. Somehow they let him in. He tells him, I didn't ask my question. So the Rebbe tells him, I answered you. You asked your question, I answered you. So he goes down, he's like, he didn't answer my question. He thinks he's going crazy. Now he goes back again to the door. At this time they stop him. Then he can't go in. He's like, I have to ask him. I had a question. I don't know if to do the operation or not. So they tell him, write down on a note. So he writes on a note. He slits it down to the door. The Rebbe comes out and he tells him, I answered your question. If you really want to know, so take a third opinion. Take another opinion. They go to another doctor. The other doctor says, operate. Okay, they operate. He's from New York, they're calling Boston right away. The doctors open the girl's head, nothing's there. Empty, nothing there. They close up, now she's not waking up. A week passed, 2 weeks passed, she's not waking up. Another week or two passed, suddenly one finger starts moving, another finger starts moving. She wakes up a little bit, but completely paralyzed. They're going through a nightmare. Okay, passes a few more weeks, comes the last day of Pesach. Now in many Hasidic communities, there's a custom on the 8th day of Pesach to do a meal, and it's called Sudat Mashiach, the meal of Mashiach. Because the Baal Shem Tov explains that on the 8th day of Pesach, there's a shine in the world from the chamber of Mashiach, and we make a whole Suda. So he goes again, he stands in line, a long line to go to see the Rebbe. He comes to the Rebbe takes out 2 pieces of matzah. And he tells him, the Zohar explains that the first night of Pesach, the matzah is the bread of emunah, bread of faith. And the next night of Pesach, the matzah is the bread of refuah, of healing. So you take this piece of matzah and you give it to your daughter. for her to have refuah. And you take this matzah for yourself, for you to have emunah, because you have zero emunah. And needless to say, that's how they brought the conversation. Needless to say, he goes home, he eats the matzah, she eats the matzah, the girl wakes up, everything is perfect. Hollywood production, everything is soft off. She wakes up, everything is good. The point is that we find ourselves in many situations and we don't have emunah. A problem will appear. The Satan is going to come and paint it real, real horrible. And I start feeding it. I start feeding it with me being worried. I start feeding it with trying to find solutions that don't exist. I get upset. Now I fight with my wife. I fight with my husband. I fight with everybody around me. I start creating a situation and there's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's a balloon of air. And I'm feeding this problem with being worried, with zero trust and bitachon in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And not only that, it affects me in such a way, so I'm nervous, so I scream at my kids. I fight with my husband. I scream at my employees, whatever it is. The bottom line is that a lot of our problems, we create them. Now, I know it sounds like a very bold statement because you're going to go home and you'll be like, wow, I'm so inspired. And then tomorrow you'll be like, what was he talking about? I have problems. I have problems. This guy is a lunatic. But you don't have problems. The reality is that our problems are small. We make them very, very big. We take them out of proportions. A, if you trust Hashem 100%, I can guarantee to you, you're not going to have a problem. I don't know if I don't want to chas v'shalom embarrass somebody in the crowd that had a problem. And I told them, don't worry. And the problem disappeared. It's not that I'm hocus pocus. I'm not Houdini. There's no hocus pocus here. We tend to hold on our problem and we think it's my responsibility that I can do something. I have zero, zero power over my life. The Talmud says, "Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mirat shamayim." Everything is in the hands of Hashem, besides my God-fearing. Hashem says, your problem is to fear me. Fear not to shake, to love me, and to respect me, and to accept what I say. All the rest is my problem. Hakol bidei shamayim. Everything is in the hands of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts a problem, Kadosh Baruch Hu removes the problem. And you just have to test him. Even though we're not allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but you put it to the test. Now you have a problem, let's get into a little bit of examples, because I know you're going to go home and be like, what the hell is he talking about? If I have a problem with my child, and my child is not how I want him to be, after, not in the beginning, after I did my analogy, and I found out that he sleeps with his iPhone glued to his head, okay? And then after that I found out that all day long, he eats sugar and MSG and GMO and food coloring and all the junk that a horse can die from this junk. And after I do my analogy, then I can be like, okay, let me first reduce the radiation in the home. First of all, we're being fried in this country. You don't even notice that. You know, researchers say that by the year 2025, every second American is going to have cancer. That's how much radiation is in this country. Every mile, you have these huge cell phone antennas. They're literally frying us. We just don't notice it. Every home has at least 3-4 iPhones or Androids. I mean, not that I'm promoting iPhone. But every home has a few smartphones. I'm not thinking about right now about a router that all day long is frying you in the home. I'm not talking about a microwave. Microwaves, they fry you. And then you put your food in the microwave, and then you eat it. I mean, no offense to anybody, you have to be a little bit cuckoo to put something in a metal box, press a button, and within 3 minutes you have a dinner. Something here is not normal. It takes about 2.5 minutes to 3 minutes on a very high flame to boil water. How come this magic box boils my water in 3 seconds? Something's not normal here. We're just very spoiled, and we like everything fast, and I'm putting it in the metal box. And nobody's going to tell you that. But this metal box is a death trap. And we put our food in it, and then I digest the food. I eat this food. This is radioactive waste in my house. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, you can call me crazy. You can call me however you want. That's the reality. So why did I tell you that 90% of my problems is me? Go to sleep with your iPhone like this. I can guarantee to you, you're going to have problems. Because this thing is radiating. People, they put it on them. I also have an iPhone. There's nothing wrong with an iPhone. But it's far away. And it's on airplane mode most of the day. And now because I'm traveling, I need some way to communicate with my wife, with my kids, with my staff. So I have this annoying device. Back home, it's not next to me. I don't need to check my emails every 3 minutes. I check my emails twice a day. And believe me, I get hundreds of emails. So we don't even notice that our house is a death trap. And people go to sleep with these things next to them. And you have a powerful router in your house. And then people say, oh, my kids, they're aggravated. ADD! There wasn't ADD 50 years ago, by the way. It's an invention. So I was also like this when I was a kid. So give a kid a bike. He's going to ride. Give him a punching bag. He'll hit it. That's it. But in our day, here, take this pill. It will calm you down. So the reality is that I create a lot of my problems. And I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but at some point they will have to come to terms and start agreeing with me. And it's not that I'm inventing anything. I'm not such a genius. I just see things as they are. Now, if you put a radiating device on you all day long, it will aggravate you. You will have anxieties. You will have headaches and all sorts of twitches and all sorts of other problems. And I'm not joking. We're so addicted to these things. And it's everything around us. So first, when my child has some type of a problem, first I want to check how much radiation is in my house. What food is he eating? We eat junk. This country knows how to deliver 90% of your food is poison. Not junk, poison. And it's FDA approved, of course. I mean, I don't know who gets the bribe to approve it, but it's FDA approved and it's junk. It's going to kill you. And that's the reality. And we're lazy. It's hard to go another 2 miles to the organic farm or to cook for 2 hours instead of putting it in the metal box. But then I have a lot of problems and I start blaming everybody around me. And I only have to look around me. So once you eliminate a lot of the problems, the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, you'll suddenly see, wait a minute, my kids don't have any problems anymore. And if my kids are a little bit wild, he's a kid. Kids need to be wild. Kid needs to be screaming and jumping up and down. It has to come in a nice relations. I mean, we're not looking for a lunatic, something normal. The point is that after I made a very deep analogy of the situation and I find out about whatever it is and I reduce it and still there's a problem, then I go from one department to the other. But the reality is that a lot of our problems, especially our health problems, unfortunately the majority of the problems that we deal with are health problems. Pains here, this is here. This is 90% from the radiation and our food. I'm not talking about the spiritual, I'm not talking about the spiritual part in it. Because the spiritual has a very strong substance in our health. But a big part of our health is the environment. How much radiation, where do I live, how many antennas are around me. Now I know you can't live, you can't move away to Montana, but I still live in New York, but there's ways to reduce the damage. Then of course is the spiritual aspect of it, is that the teachings of Kabbalah explains that everything that happens to my body, it comes from my neshama. Which means that if I have anxiety, my neshama is having an anxiety. If I'm depressed, my neshama, my soul is depressed. If I'm tired all day long, my soul is tired. I have to look at the problem that I have and give the solution to my soul. If my soul is happy, I will never be depressed. Even if I have $100 million debt in the bank, I will be smiling all day long. Why? Because my soul is happy. I don't need money to make my soul happy. Money will not buy me happiness. It will buy me a nice car and a nice home and nice clothes and a nice vacation. And all these things are very good. I'm not saying chas v'shalom that we have to live in poverty. But it's not going to find me my happiness. My happiness is dependent on one thing, is that the happiness of my soul. If my soul is happy, I literally can have $100,000 debt in the bank. And I'm going to smile all day long. All day long, I'm smiling. And if somebody will ask me, the bank manager, why is smiling? Because it's not 200,000. It's only 100. So my happiness comes from my soul. My depression comes from my soul. Everything comes from my soul. So it also has the spiritual part of it. If I put my soul on a diet, then it will start screaming to me. We're going to fast now in 2 days. You don't eat for 9 hours, your stomach starts hurting you. After 10 hours, you get a headache. 11 hours, you start being dizzy. And then we put our soul on a diet, and then we think that my soul is just going to be like, okay, fine, you don't have to do anything for the next year. I need air, I need food, my soul needs air and food. That's it. That's how it is. There's nothing to even go even more into it. Try not to eat for 1 day. Try not to breathe for 1 minute. You neglect your body, it will react. Neglect your soul, it will react. Very simple. Start feeding your soul is going to react in the exact same way. So, there's many, many different types of problems and many different types of solutions. I can give you now all the solutions to all the problems and all the scenarios. Almost any problem that I have in my life, I can analyze it real quick and find out in categories. Either it's a problem that will stay and will never go away. And I have to, at this point, work on my acceptance. That's the will of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the faster I'll accept it, the faster the problem becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. The problem is going to disappear. But it's not going to be hard to deal with. It's not going to be overwhelming. It's not going to be difficult. My disabled child, from becoming a headache, it will become nachat. Not that I have a child, but Baruch Hashem. I'm just saying, people that have disabled children, it's a headache for them. It's a burden. It's a torture. But you're looking at it in a completely different way, pitom you see what a present it is. So it's all how you look at things. So some problems, they're here to stay and they're never going to change. The test here is how much I humble myself, how much I will accept it, that this is the will of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. And every day of my life, I have to humble myself and say, that's the will of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it will never change. The more you do it, the problem, the severity of the problem will diminish. That's it. Next problem is I have to make a quick analogy. What is my responsibility here? And I have a lot of responsibility. Because if I talk a lot of Lashon Hara, it will affect my kids. If me, as a man, will not learn enough Torah, it will affect my kids. If I cheat in my business, it will affect my kids. I'm not throwing examples. This is exactly what it says in the holy books. A man that thinks impure thoughts, it will affect the kids. Directly. One kid it will affect in, so to say, I don't like saying that word, ADD. And one kid it will affect them in fear. Another kid it will affect them in health. Because the teachings of Kabbalah explains that the mother and the father are being the creator of the child, they have some type of a connection. Which means that the father creates the intellect, the mochin, and the mother creates the midot, the attributes. And together they put it in the child. Which means that whatever goes in my mochin, my intellect, like Wi-Fi, whoop, into my kid. And whatever goes in your heart, in your emotions, directly into the kid. So if I see a problem with my kid, I first of all, the analogy I do is myself. If my kid is chutzpan, answer backs, right away I look at myself, where am I chutzpan? I'm doing something in chutzpah, that my kid has become chutzpan. If my kid doesn't want to go to school, is doing bad in school, I right away look at myself, how many hours did I learn today? Oh, I didn't learn a lot of Torah today. So it affects my kid. Now I see it as a problem. I don't see that the problem is me. I think the problem is the kid. The problem is me. So, I have a direct effect to my kids as parents. Till bar and bat mitzvah, it's extremely powerful. Once they become bar and bat mitzvah, it reduces a little bit. But till the end of my life, I have a direct effect on my kids. So, if a man has impure thoughts during the day, it will make the kids very, very aggressive and angry. You see a kid that is very, very aggressive and angry, could very much be the husband, has not pure thoughts during the day. And then your pure thoughts, you use your imagination. The pure thoughts can be about how can I steal in this business. to make more money. I mean, people, you tell them impure thoughts, it's going to what different departments. But anything. So we have a direct responsibility to my kids. And also to the world around me. The teachings of the Arizal explains that our soul has a unique barcode. That's not the words he's using, that's how I translate it. We have a unique barcode in our soul. And this soul produces energy. Now, the more I refine myself, the more I center my energy to my soul, then this barcode, this uniqueness, it comes out. And how it would come out, it will reflect out, like an energy. That's why you see sometimes you walk into a certain room, if a person is like this heavy energy, everybody's like... Then you walk to another room, this guy walks in and suddenly the whole room is... Sometimes you can go to a lecture, a person can be a genius in the Torah, a genius. You go to the lecture, everybody's snoring. Another person, you go to his lecture, you go out, you're like on fire. Why? It's what the energy of the soul projects out. So I can control my energy and it will project out. A husband can come home after work with a lot of heavy energy. The boss didn't pay him, the business deal didn't work out, somebody bumped into his car, everything. The energy, he walks into the house, within a split second, the whole energy of the house changes. Suddenly it becomes aggressive energy, pitom fighting, arguments, everything changes. Why? Because the energy of one person. So not only that I have an effect on myself, I have an effect on everybody around me. So any negative thing that I do, that's why I told you before, the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get impressed by the external part. Kadosh Baruch Hu gets impressed by the internal. Pure thoughts, not lying, honest, all these things. That's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, ooh, that I like. But into my day-to-day life, when I'm pure, then the energy that is projected out is pure. So everything around me comes down. The behavior of my kids come down. The dynamics between me and my wife is different. Because not only that, everybody around me, they pick up on the energy. And why did I mention so many times before about the lying? Because unfortunately we're all liars. People have a lie detector. And they don't know that you lie. But they sense something impure. Something that is not true. Emet. That's why some people you go to, you get, wow, I get this unbelievable energy from this person. He's honest. There's no schmutz. There's no lie. Lie is literally taking the reality of the Kadosh Baruch Hu and distorting it. That's a very, very severe sin. People think lies are, lying is one of the most severe sins. So when I work on myself and I'm very, very honest with myself, with everybody around me, the energy that is projected out is completely different energy. Completely different. So when I start practicing all these things, one by one, I start seeing that I'm reducing problems. So we have the problem that will come and will stay, and that's the problem, and my avodah here is accepting. How do I accept it? I humble myself. That's the only way of doing it. Only by humbling myself. Because why do I get upset? Because I have an ego. And I could not believe, why is it done to me? Why is Hashem doing it to me? It's not about you. If Hashem would talk to you, would tell you, it's not about you. It's nothing to do with you. I have an ego, then I get upset. I have a course. We started a course in our school, it's called Tikkun HaMidot, Refinement of Character. So before we started the course, we did an introduction. So I have here a CD. Anyway, I'll take the CD. It's an 8-hour introduction about the course, about Tikkun HaMidot. Because Tikkun HaMidot is the most important thing that we need to do. Refining my character traits. Because we have to follow the Torah, we have to learn Torah, we have to do mitzvot. The student, the main student of the Arizal, of Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, his name is Rabbi Chaim Vital, and he says in a book that is called Sharei Kedusha, a book of Kabbalah, that he says it's very important to do mitzvot and to learn Torah. That's our foundation. But our main avodah in this world is called Tikkun HaMidot. I have to work on my character traits, on my emotions, on my attributes. That's why I came here. So one person is going to be a grouch. Another person can control their anger. Another person can control their jealousy. Another person can control their mouth. Another person cannot control their sadness or their depression. All these attributes. And I have to come and refine them. If I have a problem with anger, it's not because everybody's annoying me. It's because I have a problem with anger. A few days ago, I met two individuals, one after the other. The first one comes and tells me, Rabbi, I need you to help me. My kids are wild. My kids are out of control. I can't control my kids. They're totally wild. Okay. Not only that, my wife, she's out of control too. He starts telling me. And then he tells me, and you know what? And my boss, and my this, and my, everyone. Okay. The next guy who comes to the meeting sits down and tells me, Rabbi, I have a problem. I have a problem with anger. I keep screaming at my kids. Then he tells me, I have a problem. I don't have patience for my wife. She's a good woman. I don't have patience or I scream at her. And he says, I have a problem. I can't wake up in the morning to go to the minyan. And I'm like, wow, nachat. One normal person. I have a problem. I can't control my anger. I can't be patient with my wife. I told him, you have the solution. It's called I. And you're the happy winner of the I. Just not iPhone, but you are realizing that you are the problem. You have 90% of the solution. Because you said, I have a problem. And most people say, my wife has a problem. How do I deal with her? Look in the mirror. Start learning how to deal with yourself. You'll deal with your wife. So, the Rabbi Chaim Vital says that we come to refine our character traits. And in a very, very short introduction, take the CD and then go online because we started the course and the course is long. It's not 8 hours. It's going to be 8 months. But every one of us has some type of a character and usually it's about five of them that we need to refine and to fix. But the general idea, just to have an idea, we're talking about two midot. Midot is a character trait, an attribute. One is good, one is bad. That's where it starts. The good one is midat ha'anava, the attributes of being anava, humble. The opposite to it is geava, pride. That's where it starts. That's the top. Each one of them, if I feed it, it will birth another generation. So if I take the negative part, I take the geava, the pride, I will birth anger and sadness. That's what's going to come the next generation. Which means if I get angry or I get sad, it's because above that, I have geava. I have too much of an ego. If not, I will not get upset and I will not get sad. And then the next generation comes, it's depression and sadness. And you go to the course, you'll learn. The point is that I feed the midah, the attribute. I told you before, in my mind is my mukhin, my intellect, and in my heart is my midot, my attributes. It depends what I feed. I can feed my intellect or I can feed my attributes. So in tikkun midot, in this is the challenge of our life. That's why we have problems, by the way, is to work on myself. Now again, category number one, let's cut it and finish with it. It's problems that will never change. The test here is to accept that it's not a problem, that's the reality. And to start liking the reality, that's the emet, start liking the emet. You know, I have a friend, I told you, that has a Down syndrome child. 5 years, they're a disaster. And I kept telling him, you have a tzaddik in your home. Hashem gave you a neshama of a tzaddik to take care of. You know how much faith and responsibility Hashem has in you and your wife's hands? You have a tzaddik in your home. Hashem tells you, I don't need you to concentrate about anything, just concentrate on the tzaddik. So, one way you can look at it, it's a problem. Now, he looks at it, wow, I have a tzaddik in my home. I'm so lucky, Hashem thinks so highly of me. Now the home has to be holy because I have a tzaddik here. So, it also how you look at it. But this is problem number one. Problem number two is all the things that I create. And it's very easy, you can eliminate it. Just be very, very aware of the situation. Be open-minded to accept when somebody tells you you have too much radiation in the house or the food that you're eating is not really kosher. This is where people get very touchy. Oh no, I'm very strict. I'm sorry to tell you, you're not that strict. Now, not you. I'm just saying, a lot of people say, oh, I'm very kosher. Bring the analysis into your kitchen, you'll probably find that you're not that kosher. Not you. Again, don't take things personal. Take it as advice that you look into yourself. Because kosher is the foundation of our emotional and spiritual stability. And we don't realize, if you want to have some videos on my phone, that you see where we fail in kosher. Different bugs, how they go in different vegetables and all sorts of little things that we don't even pay attention to. The separations of things. Not only that, I told you before, I can have the best, most mehudar kosher meat. My mouth lies all day long. The kosher meat goes into my mouth. My lying, the impurity of my mouth makes the meat already not so kosher. And this is not based on halakha. Don't take it home and say, "Ooh, this is not based on halakha." You're not going to find such a thing in halakha. This is taught in the holy books that I have to refine myself. And when I'm refined, everything around me will be refined. In anything in this world, there's good and there's bad. This is the secret of the universe. When Adam and Eve, they ate from the tree of knowledge, in Hebrew it's called Etz Hadaat. Hashem kicked them out of Gan Eden, so he said, "Oy vavoy if they eat from the tree of life." They ate from the tree of Daat, the Etz Hadaat. And the term in the Kabbalah for Etz Hadaat is called Etz Hadaat Tovera. Good and bad. They brought down the concept that there's bad in the world and the bad gets mixed with the good. And the entire Torah is coming to sift between the good and the bad. That's the entire Torah. The entire Torah, this is kosher, this is not kosher. This is tameh, this is not tameh. This is permitted, this is not permitted. This is the Torah. To sifting between the good and bad. The problem is that the bad is so powerful, that it's so dressed in and mixed into the good, that I don't know how to separate it. Good looks bad, bad looks good, everything is a mishmash. So, everything that I do, that I mix it with impurity, then it will become impure. Till now, most Jewish women to go to the mikveh after their cycle, they'll be like, "What? A bath is going to make me pure? Let me take a long shower." I can't even, most women don't understand what it means to go to the mikveh. And unfortunately, even with that, we have problems. A lot of mikvehs are not kosher. So, the point is that our sustenance, our foundation is based on purity. The more you bring purity into my life, then my entire system is pure. So my thoughts are pure, my speech is pure, my behavior is pure. Everything that comes in, everything that comes out is all pure. Then everything starts coming down. Everything will start more mellowing. So when it comes to the problems that I have responsibility, you just have to be humble. If you're not humble, you're never going to find it. Because it's going to be everybody else's problems. You have to work on your humility, on midat ha'anava, and saying, "You know, I'm not that great. There are other people here. I maybe I'm the one who's wrong. Maybe I'm doing something not good." When you humble yourself, that's where things become more obvious and you're able to do a good analogy. But the last and most important group is that we have a lot of problems, and these are the most serious problems, is that we take too much responsibility over the problem and we think that we can solve it. And Hashem, if He would be able to talk to you, He would tell you it's not your problem. My problem. Your problem is to do what I tell you. You do what I tell you, your problem will disappear. Because you are feeding the problem. Like a hot air balloon. And test that. Put it to the test. And again, what I'm saying tonight, A, most important, don't take my words out of context. I go home, sometimes I get these weird emails from people. "Why did you say this? Why did you say that?" You have to first take what I'm saying as a concept. Start analyzing my reality, that my reality is not that bad. It is bad because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do tshuva. He wants me to get my act together because He wants Mashiach to come and everybody to be on board. So He puts a lot of problems in my life. Because when I have problems, I will pray, I will say motilim, I will give motzdaka, I will do all these things. So this is like my personal trainer. I want to go to a much higher place in my life, I need a personal trainer. I don't think if you look at Mike Tyson, how he trains, I don't think a trainer tells him, "Okay, do 10 push-ups and here's a Twinkie." He pushes him to the max. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu pushes me constantly to the max, but I have to see, it's all the angle how I look at it. If I look at it as a problem, it becomes a problem. If I look at it as some type of a resistance to make me grow, then it becomes a very positive thing. And needless to say, if I start pumping into it, then it becomes out of control. And it all boils down to one thing. If you will start looking at the course of Tikkun HaMidot, you'll see it's all about humbling yourself. If you're really listening to my classes, you'll see that I constantly talk about, my problem is my ego. We're very ego-driven people. Everything is about me. So my problems is my problems. But if I will be humble, then it's not my problems because I'm nobody, I'm nothing. It's Hashem's problems, He will solve them. And I put all the problems in Hashem's hands. It's your problem. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do. So it all boils down to how I look at things. If I look at things in a very negative way, they become negative. If I look at things and I try to pull out the positive out of it, then I'm able to transform it into positive. And this is not a problem solver. Don't think you're going to go home now and solve your problems within 2 months. But the attitude, the way you look at it, you can reduce the problem. You can control the problem. It will be under control. You're not going to be sick. You're not going to be worried. You're not going to lose sleep over it. You're not going to have fighting with your husband over it. We're going to deal with the problem in a very calm, cool, responsible way, and we're not going to worry. And the more you worry, the more you feed the problem. The more you lose trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more the problem will become bigger. Because Hashem says, no problem, you take care of it, not me. So this is the introduction of the course of how to solve problems. Now when you go home, you have to start applying all sorts of things. This is not the solution to the problem. It's just how to look at things in this world. That a lot of it is my responsibility. When my kid comes home with a problem, I look at him, I look where I'm wrong. If my kid comes home and the teacher tells me, listen, he lied today, I'm not upset at the kid. I look at myself and I'm like, oh, maybe I lied today. Probably I lied today, somewhere or another. That I projected it on my kid, and my kid, he's 7 years old, kids, they're innocent. Anything that comes to my home, I look at myself. First I look at myself. And when I look at myself, that's somehow I'm able to see things. And then I can correct it in myself. Because Hashem wants me to correct myself, so He puts in front of me many, many mirrors. My wife, my kids, my boss, my neighbor, they're all mirrors. I point the finger. The reality is that the mirror is to show me where I'm wrong. And if I'm humble, I'm going to look at my wife and I'm going to be like, wow, she's really teaching me. She is the woman of my dreams. She is my Eshet Chayil. She's teaching me how bad I am. It's very easy to shoot on the other person and be very critical. A lot of criticism, and it's you. The point is look inside yourself. And when you, I'm telling you that because that's how you start reducing problems. We all want to know how to deal with our problems. The more a person humbles himself, the more the problem diminishes. And again, this is not a solution for every problem in the world. There's no manual for the solution. I'm giving you a little bit of tools that you know how to start dealing with things. And deal with things in a very loving way. This is another big problem that we have, is that unfortunately, we don't have much Ahavat Israel. And again, I know I'm saying some bad things tonight and people might take it personally. We don't have really a lot of Ahavat Israel. Because the Ahavat Israel is in my home. The ultimate Ahavat Israel is between my wife, or you and your husband. That's the Ahavat Israel. Not in the person on the street that asks for a donation and you give him $10. That's nice of you. That's charity. Ahavat Israel is how I treat my wife and how I treat my kids. And then it goes out and out and out. The more I practice Ahavat Israel, the more I give from me, the more I can get. The more I stop it, then I can't get anything. Then all I get is only negativity. The motion, what's called sinat chinam, hating another person for no reason, that's one of the biggest recipes of all my problems. Is projecting something negative on somebody else. You know what happens? Project it right back at me. That's it. And the problem is that we're all lacking of it. That's why we're still in exile. That's why Hashem is now showing us all these problems, because He says, do tshuva. I don't need you to sit in yeshiva for 12 hours all day long. That's not the tshuva I'm looking for. I'm looking for the tshuva inside. You're not impressing me how you look outside. When I became religious, 2 years I was in yeshiva, the first 2 years at least. I had denim pants, a colorful shirt, small yarmulke, and everybody kept telling me you have to wear the suit, and I was like, no. My tshuva is not the suit. My tshuva is not how I'm going to look on the outside. My tshuva is inside. When the inside is going to be perfect, then I'll come to the suit. Because that's very external. And Hashem says, I don't care about the external. I'm not telling you don't need to learn Torah or don't need to pray all these things. We have to. But people think, oh, if I learn 6 hours Torah, then I'm impressing Hashem. Hashem says, I don't care. You're not impressing me. I want the inside. I want purity, honesty, all those stuff. And the real tshuva that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do is to look at everybody around me and to accept everybody. Not to hate everybody because they come from a different congregation or they're Ashkenazi, Faradi. I hear such disgusting things. And really we carry this hate inside of us. Oh, he's from that congregation, he's from that group, this group is crazy, that group is like this. We really, unfortunately, and that's the real cheshbon nefesh that we have to do with ourselves, is that I really hate everybody around me. When I need that person, suddenly he's my best friend. If I don't need him, I don't like him. And the reality is that we're suffering from that. We're 2,000 years in exile because of Sinat Chinam. And when we're going to fix it, we're going to be able to go out of my exile. So if I fix inside of me the Sinat Chinam, then I go out of my own exile. So my problems are not really problems. They're just these speed bumps on the road. That's it. And the speed bump, you know what the speed bump is there? To slow you down. Slow down, don't need to be in a rush, don't need to drive fast, accidents happen. This is a speed bump. So I call it a problem. Hashem says, it's not a problem. It's a speed bump. Slow down. Focus. Look what you're doing. You're going to create a problem. So I call them problems. And a lot of it is coming from the fact that what I project outside is hate. And what I get back is the exact same energy. And when I start projecting out acceptance and love and patience to my wife, to my kids, to my neighbors, to strangers, then I create the motion of giving, then what's going to come back around is the exact same thing. That's why our sages say, mitzvah goreret mitzvah, avera goreret avera. A mitzvah will make you do another mitzvah, and a sin will make you do another sin. This is talking a very simple and literal surface. If I do an act of love, I care about you, real care about you, not because you're doing something for me, not because you're going to help me get something, then that's the energy I draw on me. So by default, I can guarantee to you, the problems start fading away because I'm not producing anything negative. So the little negative that has to be in my life, it's those speed bumps. Take all this information together, you'll see that a lot of the problems in your life will mellow down. And the most important thing to remember that it's about me being humble. If Hashem already puts a problem to me, Hashem says, I want you to humble yourself. The more you humble yourself, then I will remove it. I humble myself by not worrying, by accepting, by loving, by not start developing all these problems in my mind. Bezrat Hashem, we should not have problems. Really, there's a lot more to talk about. I think I just gave you a little bit of a drop to start digesting something, how to live with a much more happier approach of my life, how to really start getting loose of these problems. And there's a lot more to it. Bezrat Hashem, we're going to take a break. You can ask whatever you want. Baruch Hashem, I only have to be in New Jersey tomorrow. I think they told me the Shacharit here is at 6 o'clock. We have a lot of times. You can ask me whatever you want. And really, what I told you tonight is not the solution for everything, but start applying everything. And if you don't remember what I said, then go to the website, look online at the video, and look at the video 500 times. And start writing to yourself what I need to do. Because I can guarantee to you, when you're going to start applying everything that I told you, and this is just the beginning, you'll start seeing little things diminishing and disappearing. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not looking for me to have problems. Kadosh Baruch Hu just wants my attention. The way he gets my attention is with Torah and Mitzvot. And I need the right guy, because a lot of people tell you, oh, Torah and Mitzvot is this. Unfortunately, in our generation, the Torah and the Mitzvot are presented in a very distorted way. And I'm not blaming anybody, I'm not coming to anybody with problems. I'm just saying the Torah is presented in a very not nice sense in our generation. So it has to be done the right way. You have to get a very good guy that tells you, this is what Hashem wants from you. This is what you have to focus on. This is where you have to put your effort. And one last tip that I told you before, I mentioned it 50 times, but if that's something that you need to start applying, if you want to walk out with some type of exercise, then start working on your honesty. And really be honest with yourself to work on the honesty. And you'll see that the more you become real, real honest with yourself, you see that what you're projecting, the energy you're projecting out, is honesty. Honesty, in Hebrew, the right word to say is emet, truth. So you see that the lie of the world dilutes against this truth. Because what this world offers is a lie. I need to dilute it. I need to bring a myth, the truth into this world. And when I bring the truth into this world, then I dilute the lie. So whatever is not real disappears. Bezrat Hashem, Hashem should bless you to be very successful and very happy. And anything that is presented to you as a problem should be disappeared. Hashem should open your eyes and your mind and your heart to clarity, that you see the things are as they are, and have be receptive of exactly what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do, so you can achieve the success that what Hashem wants you to pull out from the Nisayon. Because in the Nisayon there's something hidden inside. A lot of people don't like Nisayon. We actually pray for the Kadosh Baruch Hu, "V'al tavieni lidei Nisayon." Don't bring me even to a Nisayon. But if I'm already at the Nisayon, we have to understand that this world is full of diamonds. All the floor is diamonds. The problem is that I have such an ego, and because I have ego, I walk like that. I'm so great. And Hashem says, look down. There's a diamond on the floor. No, no, my ego doesn't let me look down. So Hashem bends my head. So He tells me the diamonds are on the floor. And if I don't look on the floor, He's going to push me on the floor. Pick up the diamond. Now if I'm humble to start with, I'm going to look on the floor right away because I'm humble. And then I'm going to see all these diamonds. Because all these nisyonot, all these problems, has a diamond inside. If I wrap the diamond with junk, then it's going to stay a junk. If I wrap it the right way, then it's a diamond. That's how it is. If you go now to a mine of diamonds, that's black rocks. You ever saw such a thing? Go look at it on Google. A diamond, before it's a diamond, it's a black rock. Then they start chiseling it and shaping it and filing it, and then suddenly the diamond appears. And then it has to be cut in such a precise way that the more precise it is, the greater the carat is. That's how you measure the quality of the diamond. But look how it looked before it started. Rough, black and disgusting. So everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu brings me here, it looks like bad and disgusting. And Shem says, just refine it. Just polish it, refine it, chisel it the right way. You'll get a diamond out of it. It might take a month, might take a week, might take a year, might take 3 years. But you'll pull out that diamond. And that's why I gave you this raw diamond. Or you can title it as a problem. If you know how to refine it and polish it, you'll take such a diamond out of it that you can't even imagine what Hashem wants us to have. So Bezrat Hashem, Emet, I want to bless you all. It's the month of Adar. We should all find our unbelievable inner happiness and peace. And we should march into the redemption with our own Avodah. It's all up to us. Hashem says, I want you to earn the redemption. I want you to go out of it and say, we did it. Bezrat Hashem, we will see the redemption very soon. Just have to take the last few breaths and to be able to pull through, keep our head up high, have a lot of emunah in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bezrat Hashem, we will find ourselves in much better days, and Bezrat Hashem, very soon with the coming of Mashiach, we'll find ourselves in Eretz Israel, dancing and happy all day long. Thank you so much for your patience. I want to thank again, wait before you leave, one announcement. First, I want to thank again, Susie, unbelievable. I want to tell you one thing before you get up and leave. When Hashem sees you go out of the way, sit down for one more minute, you'll get one last gem. We have this learning center. I don't even know how Hashem got me into that. You know, when I opened it, somebody told me, you want to open a center for women? You're going to have 500 women talking to you all day long? And I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? So the reality is that every night we have a drama. We don't need TV. We have a lot of drama. So every night something else happens. So not too long ago we had drama. One of our students, Hashem Erechem, with some marital problems, severe marital problems. She had to come into our house and police, but a whole drama, I'm telling you. We have better shows than HBO. You know, now it's popular, all these life things, like the reality. So I have a reality show 20 times a day. So till 3 o'clock in the morning, we're with police and balagan and a whole balagan. The next day, somebody told me, I told him, I told him, I'm very, very tired. Why? I only slept like 2 hours a night. Why? I said, no, we had some problems. So he tells me, don't you get sick of taking care of other people's problems? I told him, this is what I told my wife at 3 o'clock in the morning when she was upset. When you take care of other people's problems, Hashem takes care of your problems. That's how it works. And I told him, I'd rather take care of everybody else's problems because Hashem takes care of my problems. It's not that I don't have problems. Don't think that I'm like sitting like this and I have $5 million in my bank account. There's maybe $5 there. I didn't check. I don't check because it's not my problem. When you take care of other people's problems, really? Hashem says, oh, she's so busy with her problem, I'll take care of yours. So this is the last gem you can walk out of this drawer. You take care of other people's problems. I'm saying that because, you know, we all have spiritual problems. You know, you organize such a beautiful night, so many people come, they get inspired, you take care of other people's problems. And the example you need to take here is, where am I taking care of somebody else's problems? I can organize a class in the home, I can go and help here, I can do that. That's really the key, that my problems really get taken care of, is when I'm busy with another person's problem, with his emotional problem, his financial problem, his marital problem, whatever it is. So really, if you were overloaded with information, just take that, apply it. That once a week, once a day, whatever you can, help somebody else's problem. Deal with somebody else's problem. And you'll see that one problem on your list disappears. Now as you go out, please, there's CDs out there, they're free, take them. Take as much as you want, give them to people. If you want to participate in the funding of it, then we the CDs are supported by donations. But they're all free. Take them, do whatever you want with them, listen to them, give them. They're all free. We have some other material there that you can take with yourself. Very quick announcement. I know I mentioned a few times about my learning center. Bemet, we have this chut that we opened the center. It's unbelievable. It's not only Torah. We have beautiful events there. It's so much going on there. We have a food kitchen and Shabbat meals. We have unbelievable things that's going on there. Bemet, unbelievable things. And it's only possible with the support of many, many people. When I came to open the center, it was really kind of overwhelming. I go to my rabbi and I tell him, what should I do? Should I go now and find a very wealthy person to take it on himself? He tells me, no. You're going to get everybody involved. You know what we just read last week? About the parasha with Truma? How do you build the Mishkan? Everybody participates with something. Whoever has a lot, gives a lot. Whoever has a little bit, gives a little. But everybody wants to participate in something. So, Baruch Hashem, we're building this little bit of Mikdash over there. I don't want to waste your time. I know you're tired. I know you want the sushi. I know you want to ask me questions. We are building a little bit of Mikdash. It's unbelievable how, I'm not exaggerating, tens of thousands of souls are being affected all over the world. From classes, from events, from seminars. You can't even imagine. And my little announcement is that if you want and you can, take a part of it. Take a piece in this building of the Beis HaMikdash. And the more we can, the more we do. So on your way out, please help yourself for the CDs, for the whatever you can. Take these little cards, give them out to people, send people to my website. I have hundreds of videos on my website. Unbelievable classes. Not that I think that I'm such great. Hashem talks. It's not me. But share it with other people. Somebody just told me the other day, I mean, I don't go on the social network. People come to me in the street, hey! I'm like, hey! We're friends on Facebook! And I'm like, really? Nice to meet you. I don't go on... I don't go on Facebook. If you think I'm communicating with you on Facebook, I don't go on Facebook. We have a crew that deals with Facebook. But why am I telling you that? Because somebody told me the other day, you know, if you click the like, if you do the share, if you do the this, I told him, really? Sometimes all you need to do is share. You see a video you like, share it. Share it on your wall. Share it to your friends. Somebody else will be inspired. Every little part what a person can take in the participation of affecting another person. Because a lot of people tell me, listen, I understand what you're saying. I don't have money, I can't help people. I don't have the wits, I can't advise people. I don't know anything. I don't know how to help another person. Then you help another person. Sometimes you don't have to do it by yourself. You help somebody that does it.